So Jesus is love and peace and kindness. And
all these wonderful
all
things.
All these things. Then why in the world in Luke 12 does he say some things that sound like war?
Yeah.
Right? He's bringing the sword and he's come for, I don't know. What? Let's go into it today. That's what we're talking about. We're doing these hard sayings of Jesus. So we're in Luke 12, looking specifically at 49 through 53. And so let's just dive right into it. Ben, I'm Britt Nipper, Life Talks producer, sitting in with Pastor Ben Rudolph once again.
Yeah.
So Luke 12, what's Jesus got going on here?
I think one of the things, the first thing I think we need to do is confront our understanding of Jesus. And I think for a lot of us, especially a lot of the modern day presentations of Jesus in different movies and things like that, I'm being a little exaggerated here, but they kind of make Jesus look like a hippie.
You're not exaggerating though.
You know, it's kind of like
really not.
He's just kind of like, oh yeah, man, like let's all just love one another, and he's just really. And let me just say, Jesus was kind. He was he was the epitome of kindness.
But he comes across as very weak sometimes in some of those depictions.
I think the modern day culture wants a Jesus that is really loving but not confrontational, and not has no righteous anger and has no sense of justice.
So
when you do that, you are essentially neutering the real Jesus, because Jesus, as much as Jesus, we have these moments with Jesus of kindness, you know, where he's with the woman at the well, or he's, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, or, you know, all these other moments where he's super kind and super loving and very gracious. And then there's other times where he says some really hard things, but important things.
Yeah.
He comes down with the hammer of truth. And truth is important. You know, one of the things that John says in his gospel in the very beginning, that Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. He was not 100% grace and sprinkling truth. Mm-hmm. It was 100% grace, 100% truth. And there are times that when truth comes, it comes very harshly. No, it's not harshly. Maybe it just comes very honestly, I should say. Maybe it is taken harshly. But the reality is Jesus isn't hiding the sense of justice that God wants to bring to the world. And so you have this passage in Luke 12 where he says some things that it just feels like, oh man, I don't know what to do with hippie Jesus when he says these things. You know what I mean?
Hippie Jesus.
So,
well, and he also comes across too at certain times. I mean, he did upset a lot of people, the Pharisees of the day,
right,
the scribes of the day. He did upset them with what he said. So he wasn't someone who was here to just make people happy.
You got that right. I mean, if he... Yeah, he says some, he has some, as much as he has blessed are you, he has woe statements. Woe are you who, you know, and then he turns over the table at the temple. And I think that when you think about those events in Jesus' life, he is making sure that people understand he's not here to make everyone happy, like you said. He's here to tell the truth. He's here people to draw people to him. He's come to serve. He's come to bring life and life abundantly. But make no mistake, if there's a denial of him and the good news that he's preaching, he's going to let you know what is down the road for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think people turn him into hippie Jesus because we forget that he's God.
Yeah.
So he still does 100%. Have the justice and the wrath and the jealousy and that's
Everything that we know, you know, sometimes there's this, oh, Jesus in the Old Testament, or God in the Old Testament is much harsher than Jesus in the New Testament. But the reality is that the fullness of all of the characteristics and the qualities and the nature of God we see in the Old Testament is in no way lessened or diminished in Jesus in the New Testament.
Mm, yeah.
So let me just read this passage and you know, again, we'll talk about the context around it and such, but this is what it says. This is Jesus talking in verse 49. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. So he's speaking here, you know, of this. So he's coming to bring a sword. There's a couple things that he says in here that are very, what I think was, are culturally hard for us to just at face value accept. Mm-hmm. The first one is, you know, he says, I came to cast fire on the earth and would that it were already kindled. So let me just back up and say this. He is talking here in this context. He has just given the parable of what happens when a master leaves his servants and they disobey. And when the master comes home, what is he going to do? He's going to bring judgment. And he's, again, this is in the context of the very beginning of chapter 12. He's talking about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That all of a sudden the Pharisees have turned their back. They're outright denying him and telling people not to follow Jesus. And so he's coming down with some harsh words of judgment, some legitimate words of judgment against the people that would reject him.
Yeah.
People that would say, you're not really from God. You aren't really the Messiah. And he's saying, when I come back, there's going to be judgment. And that's when he says these things. I came to cast fire on the earth. So, you know, when you read some commentary, some people, like, fire is used for a lot of different means. There's a lot of different pictures. Sometimes it's used as a refining thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's used to represent judgment. Sometimes it's used to represent this Holy Spirit, the Spirit's presence.
The tongues of
fire. Right. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of times when he says, I came to cast fire on the earth, a lot of people are like, well, he's just saying that he's coming to refine what's already here. Or maybe he's preluding what he's talking about with the Holy Spirit. I believe he's talking about judgment here.
Yeah. My mind, I mean, I guess most people's mind kind of would go to like a Sodom and Gomorrah type thing.
Right.
Like, I'm going to rain
that's
fire
really,
down
that's
on...
really the Greek that's used here is this idea of Jesus casting, like throwing. It's a Greek word, balo, which is this throwing, almost like a pitcher throws a baseball. And so that's the word that's used. It's not a, I'm just coming to bring fire. I'm not kindling fire. No, there's a casting of fire. And so there is this picture of judgment, and he's saying, would that it were already kindled. Now, again, sometimes we might think, man, that sounds really I keep saying this word harsh. But the reality is all of us are sinners. All of us don't have a perfect sense of justice. None of us do. Through understanding God and understanding his scriptures, we can grow in our understanding and our value of justice. But even in the flawed, sinful ways that we are, we can look at something and say, I wish God would bring judgment on those people.
Mm-hmm.
There's times when you hear about the wickedness of this world, Britt, that I'm sure you're like, I wish God would just smite them.
Yes.
And so there's a, let's not, you know, when you read this, this is a opportunity for us to rejoice that God does. Jesus is fully honest with the sin and the brokenness and the wickedness that's on the face of this earth. And there is, as much as there's a part of him to want to save humanity, there's also, you know, so he's got all of these things working hand in hand with one another. He's working his love. He's working his forbearance. He's working his patience out and his kindness out, as well as he's working out his justice. And so, yeah, there's a deep reality of Jesus where he's saying, oh, this world deserves justice right now. At this point, there's enough sin that's been transpired under heaven that this place deserves fire and to purge every wickedness from this place. And to me, I think that should be a comforting thought.
Yeah.
That Jesus is not, he's not aloof. He's not disengaged. He's not apathetic towards evil. He wants to correct the evil, okay? So that's the first thing.
Yeah, and he's giving you the way out. He is the way out of that.
Yes.
Judgment and justice.
And that's the next thing he says. Because the next thing he says is, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. So then he's transferring, there's a part of me that wants to bring judgment fire, but there's a baptism. What I know is I'm stepping in between that.
Mm.
And really, the fire that needs to be kindled is going to be kindled against me. I'm the one that's going to the cross. There's a baptism that I'm going to receive, this baptism of fire that, you know, that will be cast to the earth, but it won't be cast to the... to the earth completely on all mankind. The fire that's going to be cast is going to be cast on me. And I'm in great distress. I mean, this is one of the most open Jesus reveals of what's going on internally for his emotions. That he's basically saying, every day that I live on this earth, I am fully aware of what is going to happen to me. This distress we see fully played out in the Garden of Gethsemane when he is, sweating drops of blood and he's crying out to God, "Let this cup pass from me."
I feel like I would have been doing that every day leading up to it, not just knowing it was coming.
You know, either Jesus is hippie Jesus or sometimes he's stoic Jesus. He feels no emotion. He's just kind of like this rock solid, doesn't go high or low. He's just kind of this, the stoic philosopher just spitting out these teachings for people. But we see here that the full humanity of Jesus with the full divinity of Jesus on display for us. Yes, he understands. He's fully aware that justice is deserved, but he also understands that his role is to absorb the wrath of God on himself for us, for those of us who he's going to redeem. And so I think when you read verse 49 and 50, that's what he's talking about. Yeah. Okay, so understanding that he is the one who's going to be taking the wrath, then he says, okay, do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division.
Ooh, that's controversial, right? It should be. Jesus isn't here to divide.
Okay, so here's, I know that people are thinking, well, what about, Prince of Peace? He's the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6, right? Or when the angels came, they said he's coming to bring peace on earth. And then you have in Matthew 5 where he's saying, blessed are the peacemakers. So all of a sudden you have Jesus who's all about peace. The Bible says he's about peace, but then he says, I didn't come to bring peace.
What are you talking about, Jesus?
Okay, so notice there's a very important prepositional phrase that's mentioned here. I think it's Matthew 10:34. That's a parallel passage. He talked about bringing a sword.
Yeah.
Okay. So he doesn't, in this version of what he says, Luke doesn't say that, but he says, do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? Okay. Peace on earth. So what he's saying is this, when the Bible talks about Jesus bringing peace, there is a sense that he is coming to bring peace to humanity, but it's primarily peace between humanity and God, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about...
Yeah, we're trying to bridge
that
gap.
There is a fire of judgment that is deserved, but Jesus is going to stand in the gap. The Bible talks about him being the propitiation for our sins. He is the one who takes the wrath of God for us. And so this idea of Jesus standing, being our Passover lamb, being the sacrifice for us, being the atonement for us, when he's saying that, he is essentially saying, when I do that, people that find salvation in me, there's going to be a division. And this division is already playing out. We see it, again, in the context is this division is already being played out with the Pharisees, with the people who are rejecting Christ. And so this division Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. And for those of us who are in Christ, peace amongst us. But Jesus is fully honest to say that this peace that he brings to earth will also bring division. It's a both and. It's not either or. Yeah. It's understanding that when you come and bring your allegiance to me, when you come and give your life to me, and you pick up my cross, we talked about that in another episode, right? That this is maybe another variation or another version of his teaching on you have to hate your mother and father.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. So again, Jesus never minimizes what the cost is to follow him.
I think this feels like a flip of that, though. It should look like you hate your father. You should hate your father and mother. Yeah. This almost feels like your father and mother are going to hate you if you choose to follow me.
That's a great point. What he's saying is there's going to be moments when, because you choose me, that division will take place, because all of a sudden, in order to follow me, it's going to really tick off a lot of people.
Yeah, my wife, when she was saved, that first year was a huge struggle for her. She had some family issues, but she, like everyone that she thought was a friend, just completely scattered and went away from her. Not from her own doing, but just there was a change in her, and they didn't like it, and they didn't want to be around anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, think about, I don't care what your past life is like before Christ. When it's after Christ, there should be a marked difference. And when you're a different person, the people that are like, well, you're not like you used to be.
Yeah.
And the reality is that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But the consequences may be that there's a division. There's when Jesus says, I came to bring a sword, this sword is a dividing sword, a sword that says there's a clear distinction between the people of God and the people of this world. And understand that Jesus is the dividing line of humanity. And if we think that, you know, by following Jesus, everyone's going to be happy for us or everyone's going to love us, and, you know, they might love us if we manifest hippie Jesus and we're just a bunch of hippie Christians, or we're stoic Christians. But the reality is we ourselves have to be full of grace and truth. And as much as we should be the kindest people on the face of the planet, the most gracious people, we also need to be the most honest, and we need to be the ones filled with the most sense of justice. And Jesus never minimizes that. We see that in scripture, and we should never minimize those things. So I think that's what he's talking about this in this passage, that this idea of bringing a sword or bringing a division, it's the natural consequence of people following him. That you understand that when you understand the fullness of what he's doing to absorb the wrath of mankind, there's going to be people that accept that and reject that. And again, he gives the parable above this, you know, to explaining that.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty brief description or explanation of this passage.
Oh, and I love in verse 50 how he does say, and this kind of goes along with the sermon series we're in at Life Fellowship right now, Philippians.
Yeah.
You can find all those on YouTube and everything. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. How great is our distress for the lost world around us as believers?
Yeah.
Are we distressed? Do we weep over cities?
Yeah.
Do we care about the lost? Are we burdened for the lost that they are divided from us right now? You know, Jesus, he does say here, I come to bring division, but ultimately, in the end, believers, we're going to be in heaven one day on the new heaven, new earth, and we're going to all be unified at that point.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think a lot of times this turmoil that we see in Jesus, this desire we see it other times, he wants to bring peace, and other times he comes to bring division. That we feel those.
Yeah.
Like we should be moved when we see wickedness. Mm-hmm. We should be moved when we see the brokenness of this world. And it doesn't diminish our desire to see people saved. You know, Jesus says, I came to seek and save the lost. But at the same time, the people that are working against Jesus, the people that are working against the will of the Father, we know that that's going to cause a division. And when that division comes, we should not be willing. What we should never do is be willing to compromise or sacrifice truth in order to get along with other people.
Yeah, that happens far too often.
It happens far too much. And I'm not saying being a don't be a jerk on Facebook. You know, don't be someone who's just looking for a fight. You know, don't walk around the world swinging your sword.
Yeah,
we want to be people who are always have open hands and inviting people to Jesus. But the moment where people are saying, you have to either choose Jesus or me, we're going to choose Jesus every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a great reminder for us. It's a great application for us to understand that we're going to be tested in this. And this is a warning that Jesus gives to his followers that not everyone's going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be okay with that. Not everyone's going to like you. You have to be okay with that. Not everyone is going to cheer, yay, you're a Jesus follower. That's not going to always happen. And standing up for the truth and standing up for the name of Jesus is going to bring division at times. And we have to be at peace with that.
Yeah. And this is another good passage too, the phrase fear of the Lord. We often hear that and people think of cowering in a corner or something. But this is the type of fear that we should have of like, hey, I'm coming to bring justice.
Yeah.
Now, which side of it are you going to be on? And we should be, as believers, I've heard multiple guys say this before, but God without justice, like what do we do with somebody like Hitler?
Exactly.
If there is no justice, how do you handle that?
You shouldn't
be okay with a guy like that just dying and that's the end of his...
We should
encourage and want that justice. We just need to make sure we're on the right side of it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think whenever you feel, whenever you see, experience, feel this sense of, I want you to bring justice. Just understand Jesus feels that a million times more.
And make sure, get the log out of your own eye, because when you're wanting justice on somebody else, there's plenty of justice that should be brought on you as well. So, all right, well, Ben, I've enjoyed this, another one of those difficult sayings of Jesus. Mm. There's a lot in there, and I'm just thankful that we don't have a hippie Jesus that...
Get rid of your hippie Jesus and your stoic Jesus.
No more hippie stoic Jesus. All right, Ben, I've enjoyed this conversation. That does it for this episode of Life Talks. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well. So leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.